Hello, welcome to the next session on thoughts on software quality. Is it just a cultural thing? The presenter will be Bertrand de la Cretaz from Adobe, and he's also a member and director at the Apache Software Foundation. Please give a big round of applause and then we'll begin with the session.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. With so many tracks, it's always a bit scary. Are you going to get three people in your talk? So I'm happy to see that it's more than that. this is a topic, I think software quality is a topic that everybody's interested in if we are software developers. I was just in Justin's talk on forensic code analysis. That's very interesting in the same, it's kind of same direction. My angle is very different. It's kind of totally opposite, actually. I'm more looking at the big picture and the cultural aspect of quality. I think we will all agree that Apache is well known for producing quality software. Most of our projects generate very good quality software most of the time. I'm not saying we're, you know, it's not absolute, but it's a pretty much a given. And when you join an Apache project, I think when we began with Apache, we all felt the pressure to produce good software and good products. So Justin, in his talk, you were showing ways of trying to measure software quality. There's various tools, and it's good to have these tools, but I think it's not the whole answer. By the way, I don't pretend having lots of answers in this talk. There's probably more questions than answers. So I'm happy to have an exchange, and we'll try to leave enough time for maybe not questions, but even discussion. My point of reference will be Apache Sling, just because it's the project that I know best. It's the one where I'm currently active. It's the only one where I'm seriously active at the moment. It's not a very big project. We are about maybe 10 regular committers on the project. But it doesn't really matter what it is, but it's a web framework, one of the many Java web application frameworks. It was created in 2007. At Adobe, we use it to power our Experience Manager product, which is a heavy-duty content management and website management system, which is used at pretty big websites. You probably use it without knowing when you go to the website of certain companies. So it's something solid. It was created in 2007, so almost 10 years ago. We're still happy with the architecture, and it doesn't have any, catastrophic bugs. It has bugs like any software, but I think the quality is pretty good. So that will be my reference point. I'm not saying it's better than something else. It's just because I know it, and I think most people would agree that at Apache we do have a culture of quality. It's expected that Apache software is of good quality. In some areas like security, it's actually a requirement. If your Apache project does a bad job at security, the board might come and kick your ass until you fix that. Apart from that, there's no strict requirement, and it's hard to measure, but I think it's in general we know that it's expected that Apache software is of good quality. And actually, quality in products is often visible. I was talking with the wife of an Apache member who's here, and they had a car accident in a BMW, actually, and they had no injuries. And she said, that car, when you close the door, you feel the quality. Mechanically it feels right, it feels strong and solid. And we experienced the same thing in the accident. We were protected by the car. So there's many products where you can tell the quality. If you look at the car on the right, that's probably in Cuba. It doesn't feel like it would be the same quality. It's kind of obvious visually, and just saying that it's probably an old U.S. Car tells you that's probably nuts and bolts flying behind the car when you're driving. So we tend to have a feel for quality in many things, in buildings, in cars, and many of the things that we see. When I was in school a long time ago, my math teacher always said that good craftsmen have good tools. you know, our pencil had to be well sharpened, we had to have a good eraser and everything. Yeah, Bertrand, good craftsman, have good tools. And it's, I think it's exactly the same in software. Sometimes we're a bit too excited about our tools or spend too much time fixing them, but it starts with a good principle that we want to have good tools. And it means also the libraries that we use and on what we build our software on. And I think it's a really good goal to aim for the, you know, the best tool when you're creating something. And that's also, I think it's also something that's how to measure. How do you measure the quality of your tools? You just think that they're good and you agree based on cultural ideas, I think. One thing that's very important in programming, when I'm writing software, I put a lot of emphasis on being defensive and conservative, if possible. You know, there's many ways to program where you say, okay, I'm writing this code, and what could go wrong here? So you put sometimes this extra test or extra exception catch or something that makes you feel like your code is more likely to not have problems in the face of trouble, or you design your software, your system to be more resilient and all this. And conservative, you know, I like this type. That's the type of bikes you would see in Amsterdam, probably. Very, you could say it's a very basic bike, but you cannot brake much on that bike. There's not much to brake. It's, you know, it's by design, a very simple conservative design that's not likely to break down. And that's also something that's kind of hard to measure. It's many of us would agree that it's good in software, depending on the type of software or which area of your system you're building to be conservative, but how do you measure that? It's almost impossible. The broken windows. You probably know about the broken windows theory. You know, I think it's in New York where the police or a student, I don't know, they put a car, they put two cars on the street, the two identical cars. One of them had a broken window, and they came back 3 days later. The car that had no broken window was still in good shape. The other one had been completely destroyed. You know, people, oh, it's open, so get in, steal everything that's in it, and so on. And it's the same in software or in technical constructions. If you leave broken, this house begs for people to break more windows. If I was a kid, I would throw stones because it's fun, or enter in and do whatever. So we try to avoid that in software. Don't have any broken window in our software or system. Also, that might be, you know, for a window, it's easier to measure. A window is either broken or not. But in software, it's more subtle. You know, you can have half broken things in your code. One very good principle when you're creating software is to do one thing and one thing well. You know, you can obviously drive nails with this thing. It's a bit difficult. You will break it. You will ruin it. And then you say, okay, now I should really get a hammer to do that. This is a piece of hardware that's really designed. I don't even know the name in English. Really designed to caliper. Yeah, right. A caliper. It's really designed to do one thing. Does this extremely well. You can do very precise measurements with that. So it's I think a good example of a design it's obvious from the design what it's meant to do. If you have any clue about mechanics, there's no questions what this thing does. Sometimes of software, it's harder. You know, what does this module do exactly? If it's hard to tell, if it's hard to describe a module in your software in two paragraphs, that's probably not a good sign. It's probably a sign that maybe you should split it into smaller pieces. My point with all these things is that you can probably consider all these things as being cultural traits. You know, I think none of this is really easy to measure. How good is this tool? I don't know. It looks good, but you know, is it 10 or 8 or 6 on a scale of 10? You don't know. How defensive is my programming? Can be more or less defensive. And does it make sense to be defensive in this part of the software? Really hard to tell and impossible to measure. Being conservative, that's also hard to you know, all these things are On one hand, you could say, if I'm working in a team of software engineers and developers, architects, I will hope that they have these things in the back of their mind. But it will be very hard for me to measure them. It will be just, I think there's a lot of quality culture behind that. And then the challenge for us is, how do we create a culture of quality in our team? And how do we keep that when the team is growing? It was Big Data Conference. Alan Gates on Monday gave a talk, keynote on training for the Apache way that they have created for the company. Because the company has gone from 25 engineers to 500 or something, a big number. And he said, initially when we're 25 people, the culture just permeates by osmosis. You're around people, you go to lunch with them, you talk, you know, they look at your screen, what are you doing, and so on. And then it's natural. When you're 500 people, it's over. You have to have more explicit ways of spreading the culture that you want to establish in your team. So that's I think, also a challenge with quality. So these were the axes that I described so far are really cultural. I think they are really cultural axes. They are part of the culture of quality. And it would be good to go in Justin's direction and try to find some more measurable axes to at least have feedback. Okay, we have established that we need to create a culture of quality, and if we could measure the results of that, that would be excellent. So let's see if we can find some possible axes for that. That's kind of an obvious one. You know, software quality. Oh, how good is your code coverage? You know, how much of your code is covered by tests? If you look at this test, it's calling the method on a random generator to generate the next number. So the code coverage is 100%. I am calling the method. I'm not checking the result. So if my random generator is returning zero all the time, the test will pass. So what I'm trying to say is that the code coverage might be all nice and rosy. It doesn't mean you are actually testing what you should test. And it's probably much harder to do a semantic, I don't know, maybe the geniuses with the monster machines at Google can do that, but it's really hard to go to the next step and semantically define from a machine, are you really testing stuff or are you just making the numbers happy? So it's, again, if you don't have the quality culture behind that, it's worth almost nothing. Quality is much wider than that, and I think it's good to take a step back and look at, you know, actually what are we trying to achieve? And I think for me, the ultimate quality result is happy users. We are creating software for users, and if they are happy, you know, it's a bit more complex than just happy. But, you know, if the software fulfills what the users want to do, and if it's secure, and if it's performant, and, if it has all the attributes that makes the user happy, in the end, if you're in a business, you want happy customers. That's the ultimate goal. So I think that can be a good criteria. And we might ask ourselves, when we look at our Apache library modules, will our users be happy when they use them? Meaning, will it perform its job?
There are pills for that.
Pills, yes. Yeah, maybe we should invent the Apache software happiness pill. For me, happy developers is a very interesting criteria. I was speaking of the Sling project. Sling was donated by Day Software to Apache. It was I joined the company about that time. And it was based on 15 years of experience creating websites, dynamic websites. And it was pretty good. But we looked at it and we didn't understand anything. The terminology was totally weird. You know, because it had been created in a small group which we didn't communicate with the outside. And we ended up rewriting it completely. We ended up reanalyzing based on the ideas that we understood, asking the guys, is that what you thought? Oh, yeah, that's it. So we recreated it completely with strong naming, you know, using names that make sense, and the whole picture is kind of obvious and you can use it. In going in the direction of happy developers, so I think that's a good criteria. Does your software make sense? Is it kind of obvious for the people to use it? That can be a very good indicator of its quality. Another of my favorite criteria is simplicity and adequation. The same woman that I was talking the other day who had the accident in BMW used to have a Deux Chevaux. So I don't know if it's popular in the States, maybe less, but in Europe, pretty much everybody, at least everybody my age, knows this car. This is the most basic car you can imagine. It's crazy. It's a two-cylinder, 600 cubic centimeter engine that you can, you know, grab yourself, remove, put another one in. It's crazy. Everybody who had that car was very happy. It was created in the 1930s, and it has very soft suspensions because one of the goals was to allow a farmer to drive in his field with a box of eggs in the car, and the eggs should not be broken. So, you know, they had very specific criteria, and they made the simplest thing that you could imagine to do that. Of course, at the time, you could probably couldn't go much more complex than that. But it's simple, it was adequate. Today, it's not adequate anymore because it's a very dangerous car. If you get a crash in this, you know, should pray. So it was adequate at the time, it's not anymore today, but it was very simple, very adequate. And I think that's a good goal to for us. You know, what is it actually that we're creating? How can we create that in the simplest possible way? And is it adequate to what we are trying to do? Because as geeks, we often, you know, oh, you could add this feature. It would be nice to do this. And then I think we should take another look when we want to do that. This is a bit more Sling specific, but I'm just, you know, counting the lines of code. This goes back to Justin's analysis of the code complexity. The whole Sling engine, so the part that processes the server web, the web request, is only 13,000, 14,000 lines of code. That's not much. So it's, for me, it's a good sign. It means it's pretty simple. We also have a tutorial where in 15 minutes you can, you know, start Sling, play with it, understand the basic concepts, and you have an idea of what it does. In theory, in 15 minutes, you should be able to make the first decision. Does this even make sense for me to look at this project in more depth or not? And I think that's can be a good criteria. Can you in 10, 15 minutes get a first feel for the project that allows you to decide, do I dig deeper or not? So I think that's a good goal. Simplicity, adequation can be a very good indicator of quality. Robustness, of course. It's funny, I'm not a big fan of cars, but I tend to have many cars in this presentation. And so this is obviously a robust car that can, you know, drive in weird places without problems. Getting there is not trivial. I assume the designing a car with suspensions that flexible, that don't break, and where you don't have too many things under the car, so they don't get ripped away when you go over a tree trunk or something, that took a lot of refinement. So when you look at it in the end, it looks pretty obvious. Well, that's a solid car. Oh yeah, good, it doesn't have anything under it, so yeah, you can go, and it doesn't have leaks, so you can cross a river and everything. The finished design looks pretty obvious, but getting there took a lot of revisions and work and so on. In software, I would say having a strong test suite can be the equivalent of that. And that's kind of obvious, but when you have beginner programmers and you ask them to test things, their tendency is to test the happy case. You know, oh, this thing works, it does what I told it to do. Oh, cool. And if you tell it something totally stupid, what does it do? Oh, I didn't test this case. You know, so with the experience, you learn to that testing something is trying to break it. You really, I'm sure that they do that with cars, or at least with the materials used in the car. They will do destructive testing. Maybe today they can simulate, but for a long time you need to do destructive testing. Pull on the metal beam until it breaks so that you can measure how much it holds. I think we should do the same with software. Our tests should, you know, push the thing to the breaking point and maybe just back up just one step, but you need to look in this direction to get the robustness that you need. Security is a difficult one, but that tends to help in keeping things simple. Because of course, the broader your API, the broader you expose your system to the outside, the more risk you have. If you do something really, you know, very limited, the risk is smaller. But then, is it really useful? So it's a balance to find. on how much you you expose of your project. Luckily, in Apache, we have a strong culture of security, and every project is expected to have a documented way of reporting security issues. If it's a small project, you can just defer to the general Apache security page, and there's a security team that will receive the security reports. In Sling, we have our own page with a few more details, but it's really just small additions to the Apache security page. So that's something, again, we're back to the culture. There's a strong culture of security in Apache, and as a result, you have defined procedures of how you can report bugs. And in the monthly board meetings of Apache, we have every month we have a report from the security team, and they tell us, I think in yesterday's report they were saying that there are three projects which have not replied to some security reports, and then we need to dig deeper and make sure that that's addressed at some point. So that's something that's good in Apache, that we have this security culture and practical means that go with it. It's fine to have the culture, but you need to actually do something as well. Focus, I think, that's something very important in software. Probably know the principles of object-oriented programming from Grady Booch, that one class should do one thing and one thing well. I think it's true at every level of the software. Your project should do one thing and one thing well. Your system should do one thing and one thing well, and so on. So it's just a granularity that's different. But I think it's very important for us to keep the focus and don't be afraid of breaking things in smaller pieces when it makes sense. This is the overall Sling architecture again. So it's pretty obvious what each module does. You have the servlets, which process requests. You have the scripting subsystem, which calls the scripts to do something with a request. You have a web server and so on. Everybody who has a notion of how web server works will understand this picture quite easily, because the role of each module is pretty focused on one thing that it's doing. But then that's something that you need to reevaluate at regular intervals, because sometimes it's a bit drifting. You have a module and then you add more features to it and say at some point, oh, this should really be two things. That's where the Apache model also helps, because often you will have other people saying, hey guys, this, you're deep down in your module, and someone else comes and looks and says, hey, this Bertrand, we should really split this in two. So that's where having more eyeballs helps a lot. Backwards compatibility, that's something that's very important for the users, and that's also something that's quite strong in Apache culture. Your Apache project is expected to, I would say, be very open and honest about backwards compatibility. Sometimes you need to break it, and it's fine, but you have to be explicit about it. Tell your users, okay, we went to version 2.0, and this is breaking this and this and this. If you want to migrate to it, here's how you can do it, and that's... that's pretty much a given, again, in the Apache culture. And I think that's an important part of the quality, because when you have big systems, migrations can be extremely costly, and that's something that you need to take into account. So that's one of these axes that needs conscious decisions to decide how are we going to handle backwards compatibility in this evolution. So I'm just enumerating lots of axes. Another one is that's a very important for me is a transparency of your software, and that's pretty subtle. Can you, when you're using the software, is it transparent in the way it does things? Are the log messages meaningful? Do they help you follow what the thing is doing? When something goes wrong, when there's an error, does the error message tell you, or at least point you to a way to fix it? Documentation or an issue number or whatever. When you look at the code, is it explicit what it's doing? And so on and so on. It's again a combination of many things that can be hard to measure, but can be a cultural trait. We're trying to do transparent software, and you might document best practices about that. I'm sure that's that's something that can be done. So in the sling uses the rest principles. So rest is, you know, naturally fosters transparency, because you expose, at least from the outside, it's supposed to be very transparent. It fosters good names also for things. So for example, sling naturally leads to having clean URLs, which you know, are pretty self-explaining. Then helpful messages, introspection tools can help make that happen. I think that's an important part of the quality, and also of the perceived quality. You know, back to the car, the first car picture, where it's obvious that one is of good quality. If your software is transparent and people can see and get a good feel for how it works, it will help build the confidence that it's working well. So build the quality impression, hopefully, which is hopefully justified. Another thing where I'm very picky in software, and it's odd, sometimes it's difficult on Apache mailing list to agree on a name. You know, you've probably seen that, aka bike shedding. But I think good names in software are extremely important. And that's, as I was saying, we completely rewrote Sling initially because the naming didn't make sense to us. So I just extracted the number of names at random, but most of them are self-explaining. You know, Sling all methods servlet. Oh, that's a servlet in Sling that handles all methods. Pretty obvious. Sling exception, that's an easy one. Parameterizable resource provider. We start getting into the funky Java camel case names, but still, it's pretty self-explaining. And I think we should aim for that. Request progress tracker, pretty obvious as well. So I think for me, it makes sense to spend some time creating good names. Don't be afraid to revise them. You know, you do your module, sleep on it, come back tomorrow morning, read it again. Do the names make sense? You know, will they help my colleagues understand it better? And if you understand it better, it helps create better quality software. So I think that's also a very important aspect of the quality. This is the counter example of low coupling. So I love sailing, and this looks like a very nice boat. And it's all well adjusted. You see the sails have good shapes. The angle is right. It seems like it's going well. It's perfect. If you touch anything, it has impact on anything, on everything on a boat. You know, if you pull the rudder, you know, the sails will deflate, and or the boat will stop heeling, or you'll heel more, and so on. If you make the sails more I don't know the names in English actually, more rigid or more soft, the boat will go left or right or anything. It's a system that's totally intercoupled. It's great for a boat. It's really fun to you know, sail a boat like that. But we shouldn't design our software like that. Software should be the exact opposite. It should be independent. So in software, when you pull a lever, we don't want that everything else is affected. It's quite the opposite. Actually, there's several things which are the opposite in sailing. If you paint a boat, it's also the total opposite of software. If you paint a boat, the more layers, the better. Software, it's not like that. So that's good counterexamples. So again, coming back to my Sling example, the coupling is pretty okay. You know, all these lines are they are simple APIs, well-defined. Some of them are standard APIs and so on. So that's a good sign. The coupling is loose. If you remove a module, if I remove the WebDAV server, it will have no impact on the scripting or the servlets or whatever. It's pretty independent. So that, I think that's something that's pretty obvious in software today. What I'm getting at is that quality has many dimensions, and they are hard to measure. Some of them can be measured. I'm sure the coupling, you could do some measurements of coupling by the simplicity or complexity of the interfaces, or doing drawings, you know, which show how a module changes. Justin had another interesting example in his analysis, is that if you analyze the commits, are they files that always change at the same time? you know, if you have, if these two files, 80% of the time, if you change one, you have to change the other, that's not a good sign. Probably a sign that you have too much coupling. If you're doing microservices, if touching one service has impact on all the others, that's not good either. So coupling is maybe one that can be measured. Focus is very difficult to measure. Robustness, you could measure the test quality, but it's not it. Happy developers, you know, that's very subjective. Happy users, same thing. So I think quality has many dimensions. Most of them are very hard to measure. And I think it's really by having a culture of quality, by making your colleagues aware of these axes, of the impact on the product, that maybe when you have a retrospective of your project, looking at this, you know, did we improve the coupling, or did the coupling get worse? Did we improve robustness and so on? I think it's good to have these axes in mind, but most of them can't be measured, so it's really an ongoing subjective process where you try to improve this. So how is Sling doing? Back to Sling again. It's not bad, but I can't say, you know, I can't, if you ask me to give it you a quality level of Sling out of on a scale of 10, I can just invent a number. I cannot have hard data to tell you what it is. What might be interesting is measuring the if it goes into a product that people use, is measuring the defects. How many support calls do you get? How complex are the support calls to resolve? How much time do you need to fix a problem when you get a report? These are all metrics that can be useful. But until you get an answer, that can take a long time. It's more valid over a long period. So that's it. We'll have enough time for questions or discussion. So quality is multidimensional. I think it needs to be part of your team's culture. Luckily, at Apache, in general, we have a good culture of quality, and I hope that we can keep that. Thinking and reviewing along those axes can help build the culture. And in the end, the only thing that really matters is happy users, which is hard to measure. But, you know, you have to keep in mind that what we are creating software for a purpose. So it's really, is it meeting the requirements of the users? I think that's the ultimate quality metric. So that's all I have. I'm happy to take questions or comments or discussion. We have plenty of time for that.
Any questions?
I think if my memory serves right, it was the former stalwart of Apache, Stefano Mazzocchi, from whom I first heard, a good thing for building communities is to do things wrong.
Yeah.
So that someone comes to improve it.
Yes.
And is brought into the community. Obviously, you need before you can do that and anyone takes any notice, you need the reputation for quality to be
right
there in the first place. But perhaps worth adding.
Yeah, thanks, Nick, for adding that. Yeah, I think that was a trick that I learned from Stefano Mazzocchi. Stefano was one of the early Apache members involved in Apache Cocoon, where I was active. And he would say, he would consciously leave bugs in the software. You know, he was committing something, he knew there was a bug in it, he didn't fix it. Because it gives the opportunity for someone to see it, to, you know, jump in, fix it, and become a member of the community. So that's a good technique, I think. But as you say, it only works if you have the culture of quality. Otherwise, people will say, oh, that's just another bug. That's the broken windows theory. You know, if it's just one bug amongst 100,000, it doesn't work. But if the software is mostly good, and you know, it might be good for you to leave some doors open so that other community members can jump in. And that's, I think it might be even more important today because another, Bill Rowe was recently noting that a few years ago it was individuals who would bring Apache to their companies. You know, you'd go pester your boss to say, hey boss, I want to put this project in Apache, do you support me, and so on. And today we have many projects which come in the incubator brought by companies. Companies think that it's a good idea to put a project in Apache, so they come in. So then when you have a project, when you have many people from a company who are working full-time, paid for it, it's hard to leave space for hobbyists or students or other people who have less time to get involved. So I think in this case it's good to follow this advice and make sure that the dominant player in a project leaves space for others to jump in and express themselves.
Any other questions?
Okay. So I think there's the next thing is a reception starting at 5 p.m. So it's a good opportunity to have some drinks and food and socialize. Thank you very much for being here.